Welcome back to this Friday edition of Silver and Black Today as the King brings us back. Yes, he would have been 86 years old today. It is Elvis's birthday. I will celebrate with a fried banana and peanut butter sandwich. It's also David Bowie's birthday. So I'm a music guy, so it doesn't matter what kind of music. Usually, other than hip-hop after the 90s, I have no idea. That's why Q usually fills in for me on that stuff. But nonetheless, happy birthday, Elvis. Happy birthday, David Bowie. Both gone, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes. You're back here, Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234. You can be part of the show, 702-365-9200 is the number. Mo Moten is our guest coming up next in just a minute here. First, we're going out to, I believe, Chicago. Are you in Chicago, Corey?
No, I'm not in Chicago, but I'm up in that area.
Oh, you're in Illinois. Okay, good, yeah, man. That's my home state. That's where I was born. But what do you got for us today, Corey?
I'm not just sitting here curious, just still thinking about, listening to what everyone was talking about the defensive coordinator and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, and a lot of people's calling and talking about John and his play calling. And, you know, earlier they were talking about getting a young offensive coordinator. The NFL's, it's just evolving, it's changing. And John's system, you know, like the guy called him earlier, man, he's calling the same six plays all game long. So the defense has to work with the offense, and we saw, you know, Derek can get the ball down to the 20, and then he stalls. It's like he just goes dumb and throws the ball out of bounds. So
yeah, the last half of the season, Corey, they certainly had trouble scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Of course, they got points with field goals. That's why Daniel Carlson set the record. We talked about that with Levi Edwards yesterday. But, the offense regressed a little bit towards the end of the year. It doesn't mean they were the problem. The defense was clearly the biggest problem. But John Gruden, in his postseason press conference right after the season ended, he said that. He said, look, yeah, there were some things that we need to get better at, as did Greg Olsen. So I think they'll get to that. No, the team's not a finished product. There's much, much, much work to be done on both sides of the ball. Of course, on defense, there's a lot more, not just the coach, but also players as well. But that's the thing with the offense. Look, it's not perfect, but I've also said to the point, the offense has to be tweaked. The offense has some things it needs to work out. The defense, on the other hand, has a lot of work to do, including personnel.
And then everyone's talking about the defense system trade, and like, we just got all these young defensive players and these free agents. I should see the stubbornness in the old DC that John let go, and we've seen that was hard on him. But
check.
I mean, maybe just let John take his hands off a little bit more and just be more of a coach and get a good coordinator in there that can maybe, you know, because running rugs in motion every single play, I don't think that's fooling anybody.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Corey, thank you for the call, man. We really appreciate you, and you listen to the show every day. Thanks so much. I think part of it is, too, is they just didn't run the ball effectively towards the end of the season. If they run the ball well, I understand what you're saying about being more creative. I tend to think that I'd love to see them get more creative, but I also think, you know, you listen to Hunter Renfrow when he's on our show on Monday. He talks about the offense, and he says, yeah, you know, a lot of times we have lots of stuff we can do, but if we don't establish the run, if we don't do it, we're supposed to do, then we can't be more creative. So we'll see. But Corey, again, thanks for the call. All right, we're going out to our guests now, going out to New York City, and we bring in our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com, also breaking news writer for the NFL as well as fantasy football for Bleacher Report. That is one Mr. Mo Moten, or as we call him, the Baron of Brooklyn. Mo, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing well. You can't please Raider fans these days. You get a young guy in the circle of interviews, they're not happy, and as you mentioned earlier, it's all about Wade Phillips, I guess.
Yeah, well, and we'll get to, we have so much to talk about, and of course, never enough time. But Mo, I think one of the things you talk about too, that you just mentioned, is Raider fans being happy. And I think that no matter what it is with whether it's offense, defense, whether it's coaches, whether it's players, to me, it's just indicative of a fan base that wants to win so badly, and it's been so long that a lot of times, again, and for me, it's a little different because I'm a little removed from it, the emotion of being a fan, it's awesome. It's a great thing, and I think that the Raider fans, the silver and black community, is the best in all of football. But you start to see at this time of the year when there's directions that this team has to go, whether it's hiring a coach or whether it's talking about free agents. And I think people's expectations, you know, they want the sizzle, they want the flash, they want the sexy, but that's not always how you win.
You're right. That's not always how you win. But there's another issue here. And I think the fan base, and they rightfully do, I would say they don't trust Gruden and the way the direction is going with this team. Because if you look, again, when you have two seasons where you look like a playoff team in the first half and you look like you belong in the top 10 in the draft picks in the second half of the season, and you have a coach that you hold on to for too long, a defensive coordinator in Paul Gunther that you should have fired a year ago, those fans are not going to feel like they can trust your judgment on some of these things. And and with Gruden, with some of these hires, and you're questioning, oh, he's bringing in guys that he's known from Tampa Bay. And fans are, again, rightfully questioning, are these guys the best people for the job? So while I get the healthy skepticism, that's part of the reason of it. And if, I feel like if this team was steadily, let's say the Raiders had won 10, went 10 and 6 and won 10 games, I think people would be more open to Gruden's ideas of his hires and say, okay, this team is at least headed in the right direction. But when the win column is kind of stagnant, yeah, you're going to get some raised eyebrows.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, one win improvement. I know, you know, talking to Max Crosby on Monday, they said, hey, we're one game better. And for the players, that's good. You take some progress, some forward progress. But you're right. For the fans, it was disappointing. There's no other way to say it. It was disappointing all the way around, especially with how you start at 6-3. And to win only two games over that whole stretch of the back half was incredibly disappointing. So I understand why they're down, and I understand why they want something. And the trust with Gruden as the guy who's kind of running the operation is lower until he does something to prove them wrong. But when we talk about the defensive coordinator position, as you know, the last couple of days we've talked about, we've had up on the website, that Gus Bradley appears to be the leading candidate at this time. Of course, they spoke to Chris Richard today. Our colleague Vinny Bonsignor reported that they officially interviewed Chris Richard today, of course, for the Cowboys. And so that was good news to see some young blood in there. But again, as I said with Q yesterday, no matter who they choose, unless his name happens to be Wade Phillips, I don't know that 70% of the fan base will be happy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think part of that is because they want a guy who's got just as much cachet, not just as much as cachet as Gruden, but enough cachet where you could say this guy is a leader. He marches to his own drum. He's not just going to be a yes man for Gruden. I think that's what fans want. They don't want a guy that's just going to refer or be a former subordinate of Gruden and used to taking orders from him. And that's what you have in Joe Barry and Gus Bradley and Raheem Morris. Again, they're guys that who served as position coaches under Gruden when he was in Tampa Bay. The reason I'm enthusiastic about the Chris Richard interview, and I'm not saying he's the best candidate for the position, but it's kind of outside of Gruden's coaching tree. He's under Pete Carroll's coaching tree. And I know he spent 2 years with Rod Marinelli. He's familiar with some of the coaches on staff, but that's how the way the world works. You're not just going to hire somebody completely out of blue that you don't know. Just think about the times that you've been on, you've been at jobs and they've hired a person that you may be familiar with. A lot of times your boss, your supervisor will ask you, well, what do you think of so-and-so? Is he or she a good worker? You know, have you been around him? What's the skinny? What's the 411? So that's what happens in the NFL. The NFL is no different when it comes to these coaching hires. Chris Richard is familiar with, as I said, Rod Marinelli. He's also familiar with Gus Bradley. So there's a connection there. But again, I just like the fact that he's a young head coach who has some position coaching experience. He was coaching LOB before that group had a name. Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, before we even gave them a name, Legion of Boom, he was coaching those guys as defensive back. So I like the fact that he's young blood outside of the tree, and he has some experience coaching some of the best players that we've seen in this league at the defensive back position.
Mo Moten, breaking news writer at Bleacher Report on the NFL, as well as our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com, is with us. And you mentioned Richard. Richard worked under Bradley with the Seahawks, right? And then he worked, like you said as well, with Rod Marinelli. I think, too, some of these guys that are coming in for interviews, like Barry, and Vinny intimated this earlier in the week, which is some of these guys might come in and interview for the DC position, and if it's, let's say it's a Bradley, Richard might come anyway, as might Barry, to create a bigger staff of guys that are all familiar with one another, or at least you know, have one degree of separation from each other. So you might be looking at the construction of a defensive staff. I know some Raider fans will be uncomfortable with that because they'll say, hey, well, then why did you hire a defensive coordinator who can't bring in his own people? But in many ways, you know, these guys are all connected. So could we see that, Mo, that you see Bradley and Richard and Barry all in the same staff?
It's possible, but they would have to swallow their pride a little bit, because for Barry, it would be a lateral move. He is a linebackers coach with the Rams. Do the Rams want to let him go? It's that type of situation where, okay, I'm not the defensive coordinator, but I'm a position coach, and I was already doing that. That's with Joe Barry being a linebackers coach. But Chris Richard, he has an interesting story. He's not coaching this year, and the reason he's not coaching this year is because he turned down a defensive backs coaching position. He wanted something more. And I read an article that said that he feels like, I know my worth. And basically he's saying, look, I was a defensive coordinator with Seattle. I was a defensive coordinator and called the plays with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want to take a step back and become a position coach. But I will say this, if your market is as such where you cannot get a job as a defensive coordinator or a head coach, because he was getting head coaching interviews at one point as a hot candidate, if you can't get any of those higher positions, you're going to have to go back and cut your teeth as a position coach and work your way up again. That's just the way the world works. We all have our expectations, but sometimes the market does not meet our expectations, and you have to eat a little bit of humble pie and work your way up, and that could happen to him.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because, again, the issue of minority hiring in the NFL is also still at the top of the list of concerns around the league. And I know we're going to have Rod Graves from the Fritz Pollard Foundation on the show next week to talk about that. But in this case, too, Chris Richards so far is the only minority candidate to interview for the job as well. And so it's going to be interesting. I mean, you have a year where you probably see, obviously, Eric Bieniemy get a job somewhere, wherever he decides to go, as well as others, but the Raiders hiring these positions will be telling to me, because that's the one thing I know you and I talked about last week too, Mo, which is the fact that, look, John Gruden has to look in the mirror. How much is he willing to cede control to others, including coordinators, right? We all know on the offense who makes the calls there, right? I know Greg Olson's there. He's a trusted person. He's got his relationship with Derek Carr and all that stuff. But John Gruden runs the offense, right? And on the defense, now I think there's a lot of concern, because it's like, well, you're making them keep Rod Marinelli without a doubt, even though his group did not perform well under Paul Gunther's system at the very least. And now if you're going to bring in a coach and Gruden's out hiring other people, I think it does not build confidence amongst that fan base, like you were talking about, who are concerned with Gruden and don't necessarily trust where he's going.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gruden did talk about having a defense coordinator who would empower his position coaches. So that, I think that's the selling point, to say, hey, if you come over here and be a position coach, you're not just going to be forgotten. Your input is going to be valuable to us and to the defensive coordinator. So I think, again, when you try to sell Chris Richard on being maybe a DB coach, if he's not the defensive coordinator, it's going to say, hey, you know, we're going to value your opinion. You're going to have some say-so in this. You're going to have an entire defensive back unit of young guys that you can develop, and eventually probably you'll be able to move up. We're not going to stop you from a promotion if you get one. But I think that's very important. I think that defensive coordinator, again, has to be, as Gruden is to the whole team, a CEO of that defensive side of the ball. Again, we'll see how it shakes out. I did tweet an interesting situation that we could have. The Chargers also have a head coaching vacancy, and they interview Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett had Chris Richard on his staff in Dallas. So there could be a situation where Chris Richard, if he doesn't get the defensive coordinator position with the Raiders and Jason Garrett gets hired with the Chargers, Jason Garrett may bring him over to be a defensive coordinator with that team. So the Raiders may see Chris Richard even if they don't hire him, which is funny.
it's crazy that it's a small world, right? We talk about it all the time. It's part of the problem around is that there's just not that when jobs open up, you think there's a lot of jobs, but in reality, there's so many connections to players and relationships and coaches and all that kind of stuff that it doesn't really open up all that wide. Mo, the other thing I want to talk to you about, Q and I talked earlier in the show about the salary cap for the Raiders. Of course, we know some of the big names that are most likely to be cut. You know, to me, at an 80% certainty, that of course Trent Brown, unless he will restructure. It all depends on whether he wants to play football and whether he's going to stay on the field. Secondarily, we know Tyrell Williams most likely is gone if he doesn't want to restructure. When you look at that salary cap situation, and you know, because you cover the entire NFL as well as the Raiders, this the salary cap, we still don't know the number. We do know it's going to be significantly less. And so the Raiders are going to have to make a bunch of decisions. And when they do make those decisions, they're going to put a lot of trust in young players they already have. And they're going to have to go out and sign the right guys, but it's going to be a competitive market. Is there anybody out there that you see might be a cost-cutting measure on another team that would be a good fit for this Raiders defense?
I haven't looked at cost guys that could be cut elsewhere. I do have articles that are coming up for that. Mm-hmm. I mostly looked at who's going to be already available. But as you said, there are two things here. Well, number one, the Raiders don't have a defensive coordinator. So if we're looking at guys that the Raiders can pick up on the defensive side of the ball, I would probably wait to see who's the coordinator first before we even think about the players, because that, you know, can't put the cart before the horse here. But also you have to look at the uncertainty, as you said, with the cap. How much is the cap going to drop? And I think that will dictate how much the Raiders will need to cut and how much they can save going into free agency. And we all know the big names, Trent Brown, Tyrell Williams, Gabe Jackson, LaMarcus Joyner, Marcus Mariota, all of those guys could be cut with no or very little cap dead money left over. LaMarcus Joyner, I believe $2.5 million in dead money will be left if he's cut. But I think the Raiders will wind up cutting at least two of those guys. And if I had to pick two, I would say Tyrell Williams, because either Tyrell Williams or Nelson Aguilar are neither come back. Either one or the other, go and draft a guy. And I think Trent Brown is out simply because he's just not available. Q talks about availability all the time. But as far as guys coming out that could be cut from other teams, I would hold off, because every year we see it. There are guys that you didn't think would be available, and all of a sudden they pop up on the free agent pool.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. On that front line, too, the offense, you know, I've seen some growing rumblings of people, cut Gabe Jackson, which I don't think is a good idea.
No.
But if you were, and then Incognito might be gone and Brown's gone, suddenly you have three offensive linemen, even though Incognito was out most of the season, you have three holes in your offensive line that you suddenly have to fill. Yeah, John Simpson's there, the rookie who played well at times this year, but that's a lot to ask, especially when your offense has done pretty well despite the end of the year kind of dip that they had. So we'll have to see with that.
Really quick spot. Not a cut, but a player that I think caught some buzz within Raiders Twitter and Raiders social media that could be moved. I think you need to look at Stephon Gilmore. He's going into the last year of his contract. The Patriots may want to change things around. They may want to move him. Bill Belichick is known for moving off guys a year early. And I guess the Patriots want to move him versus him just going into free agency next year and not getting anything for him. So I can see him being moved for possibly a second or third round pick. Would the Raiders be interested in that? I would jump on it.
It's funny you say that, too, because Q and I, all week, we've kind of had a little bit of theme around the fact that we think that they need a veteran either at safety or cornerback to come in with that young, talented group that they have there. So we are in agreement on that. Well, Mo, I know it's been a long grind of a season. I know you're going to get some downtime, but we will talk to you next time.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. You take care. Mo Moten, senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com. You can also read him all the time on Bleacher Report. He covers the NFL and does a great job on fantasy football, too. He is one busy dude, and we love having him around. All right, it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Noah Strang. Noah wrote the story about getting to know Gus Bradley. We'll talk to him about Bradley as the leading candidate right now, what he brings, concerns that you might have about him, and all the rest. You're here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.